You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Black Friday. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. If you're listening to this over the weekend, hopefully you had a fantastic holiday and are looking forward to the start of NBA training camp next week, believe it or not. And then preseason games, I guess, December 11th and real games December 22nd. So it's all going to happen extremely quickly. And we've got a ton of stuff to talk about over the coming days and weeks. Today, what I want to do is really kind of put a final bow on free agency and a little bit of the draft as well. There's a few different Wolves notes out there related to some free agent targets, even some draft night targets, prospects in the draft who the Wolves ultimately did not trade up for, did not sign or made a pitch to, but did not sign. So I want to talk about a few of those things that are out there and give my take on them. And then I also want to talk about there's an article over at Zone Coverage, which is a really good blog and podcast. They have a number of good podcasts as well in the Twin Cities, and their Timberwolves coverage is solid. There's an article by Spencer Nelson over there who had a different take than I did on the Robert Covington. Well, really, my take was on the other day was on the Jimmy Butler trade return, and in turn, what they've got for Robert Covington, and arguing that I thought that the return for Butler was actually pretty solid. He's got an article out claiming that the return for Robert Covington is not good. So I want to pick a couple parts from his article and then give my rebuttal as to why I disagree with that take on it. So that's what we'll do today. We'll put a bow on draft and free agency, and then we'll talk about the Robert Covington trade, the return on that, and I guess the two perspectives on how you could look at it as positive or negative, depending on your inclination there. Based on, I guess it depends on how you evaluate the pieces that Gerson Rosas got back for Covington. Quick here though, off the top though, as always, a quick reminder to please subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, I'd like to remind everyone every now and again, I did not select that Twitter handle. The original handle was Locked On Wolves. And when I came on board, that account was locked out. We now have Locked On T-Wolves, even though nobody in Minnesota actually calls the Timberwolves the T-Wolves. I'm fully aware of that, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that I know that. All right, let's talk about the draft and free agency. There was a couple different reports out there. One from, I think this was late Wednesday, there's a New York Times piece that talked about Derek Jones Jr. As a target for the Timberwolves in free agency. We discussed him briefly on the show a couple of weeks ago as a potential target in free agency, and it was kind of out there that the Wolves were interested in him as well. But now there was a really in-depth piece by Jonathan Abrams at the New York Times, and it's basically almost like riding shotgun with Derek Jones Jr. and kind of the whirlwind. Obviously, this year was very different in terms of how free agency played out, but it's like riding shotgun with him and his agent while he weighed his options in the first really not even 24 hours of free agency. I believe this was all taking place on the same night on last Friday night when free agency opened. But Derek Jones Jr. of course played with the Heat and was had kind of a breakout season. He's been a solid defender and an athletic player. He won the slam dunk contest this year just prior to the pandemic shutdown, and was a pretty key part of the rotation. He played well against the Wolves when they played against the Heat, and was going to be a target in free agency. He had an injury right before the playoffs and was really just kind of a fringe rotation player in the playoffs for the Heat because of his neck injury, I think it was. But he now was going to hit free agency as a 23, turns 24 in February, so not quite 24-year-old. He was a rotation player, 23-plus minutes a game for a really good Heat team last year. And before that, played a lot, 20 minutes a game, 19 minutes a game, I guess, the year before as a 21-year-old for the Heat. And he's not a great outside shooter. He shoots 1.5, 2 threes a game, and for his career is just over 28%. But he's athletic, he's switchable, he's a great defender, and can guard threes and fours. And with his size and wingspan, he's 6'6", but is primarily going to play the three and switch down onto fours pretty easily. He was just a guy who's on the rise. He's going to be a solid rotational player. Could probably start at the four in some lineups, and he may have had he signed in Minnesota, depending on rotations and all that stuff. I think that's likely where he would have gotten a decent chunk of minutes as a small ball four. But he had three teams after him in free agency on top of the Heat. The Heat wanted him back, but they were obviously busy and doing some other things and weren't going to be able to pay him what he wanted. But this article kind of takes us through his evening deciding where the next place he's going to play is. And so he listened to what looks like what's listed here by Abrams at the New York Times as an 8-minute Zoom pitch from the Sacramento Kings. He mostly listened, didn't have much feedback, and was worried about them letting him be himself in Sacramento. And then he told his agent, quote, "I'm with it if the number's right." And then he had a pitch from the Portland Trailblazers who wanted him to bring his defensive firepower to their roster. They talked about pairing him with Robert Covington on the wing there in Portland, and he was almost ready to commit. Basically, the agent ended the call with the Blazers by saying, quote, "By the end of the night, we'll get back to you." And then he had a call with the Wolves, and I'll read the quote from the agent. The agent said, "They," meaning the Timberwolves, "made it a little harder just because I can tell they're so creative. They're different. I like that." Jones said, quote, "That made me start thinking a little bit more." That being the holistic approach to players, the personalized nutrition, sleep and recovery plans, all that stuff that Dr. Robbie Sicca and the rest of the Timberwolves front office is really focused on. And those things obviously have made an impact on players. And then his trainer was on the call as well and said that the Wolves helped themselves a lot with that. Jones said it all sounded good, but then he started listing players in the Wolves rotation that are going to touch the ball before him. So he lists Towns, Malik Beasley, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, and says, quote, "That's four players ahead of me that's going to touch the pill." And basically came back to the Blazers, decided that's where he wanted to be. And the agent called the Timberwolves one more time and said, "Hey, if you guys can up your offer, we'll reconsider, but we're likely headed elsewhere." The Blazers said, "Whoever calls us back first," amongst Jones and some other free agents that were out there, they were going to sign him. And it sounds like, based on the agent's research, that they weren't bluffing. So ultimately he went with the Blazers, but it sounds like the Wolves made a compelling pitch. And it's more evidence that the Wolves' new approach to player nutrition and performance and all of those kind of extra things that are both kind of on and off court aspects of the game nowadays, that they've done a really good job of revamping that. It's a different culture, certainly, than the Tom Thibodeau culture. It's a different culture than the pre-Tibbs culture, the old Timberwolves way of doing things under David Kahn and Rick Adelman and some of those different regimes that were a little bit more old school in a lot of the things that they did. And the Wolves aren't on that path anymore. And that's a credit to Gerson Rosas. It's a credit, really, to Glenn Taylor also for hiring Rosas and allowing him to kind of take over in that sense. Ryan Saunders, obviously, for going along with it. The diverse staff, both in the front office and on the bench, the coaching staff that Rosas has put together. So really interesting to see Jones Jr. have those different options, and also his interest in being in Minnesota, a lot of it related to just how modern the Wolves approach is. But he would have been a great fit. Obviously, the Wolves ended up coming back to Juancho Hernan Gomez. We'll talk about that here in a minute, and are going to kind of go with in-house candidates in addition to some of the younger guys. And then the trade for Ed Davis to shore up that four spot. And obviously there's no shortage of in-house candidates to play the three either. So what I want to do next is talk about, there was a John Krasinski article that kind of wrapped up everything free agency. So I want to hit some of those notes and just generally some of the other targets he talked about the Wolves having before I get into the critique of the Robert Covington return from Spencer Nelson at Zone Coverage. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our great friends at both Built Go and Built Bar. The Built brands are fantastic. Built Go, of course, is the best tasting workout gel on the market. Not just a workout gel, but it helps you break through any mental or physical wall, like a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. And it's natural. It's like drinking a Monster, but with a third the caffeine and better results. Not only that, Built Bar is the best protein bar on the market. And this weekend, for Black Friday through Cyber Monday, the Built brands have the best possible deal that you can find out there for anything protein-related, workout-related. Beginning right now, actually, it began Thanksgiving evening through the weekend. There's an all-new white chocolate bar at Built Bar, while supplies last. White chocolate cookies and cream and white chocolate salted caramel. Plus, you'll get two free candy cane brownie bars with every single item purchased. 25% off all products all weekend long. You can go to builtbar.com, get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED to get an extra percentage off. That's promo code LOCKED at builtbar.com to get an extra percentage off on top of 25% off for Black Friday. And then Cyber Monday only. If you're dreaming of a white Christmas, white chocolate cherry sundae, white chocolate coconut deluxe are available through Built Bar. Also, two free candy cane brownies with every item purchased on Cyber Monday. That's 25% off all products. And you'll get a free advent calendar with every purchase on Monday. That's Cyber Monday. Go to BuiltBar.com, get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED to get an extra percent off. All right, a reminder, as we head towards the start of training camp, players report on Monday for COVID testing. Training camp starts on Tuesday, that we're going to get really deep into some training camp coverage next week and really kind of outline what the depth chart looks like, what this team looks like heading into training camp. Hopefully have some notes from training camp to talk about. And then we're only going to be like, on Monday, it will be like 10, 11 days out from talking actual preseason action. So be sure to tune in next week. Of course, this show is daily, Monday through Friday, and we'll be covering everything, all things training camp next week. All right. What I want to do next is talk about the John Krasinski article over at The Athletic. He did an outstanding job of kind of recapping everything that happened over the past week to 10 days. The draft was what, 9 days ago. So in the last 9 days. And so he goes through the draft night, he goes through free agencies, the moves that the Wolves made. He talks about an angle of the Rubio trade that the Wolves, obviously this is more evidence that they didn't have LaMelo Ball one on their board and draft Edwards because of fit, because they went out and acquired a point guard who needs the ball in his hands in Rubio later that same evening. You know, the counterpoint is Rubio is already a better shooter than Ball is at this stage. Obviously, Rubio is also a known commodity. The Wolves know what Ricky Rubio will bring to the table. We think LaMelo Ball will be a very good NBA player and maybe a star, but we don't know what he's going to be like as a rookie. And very, very rarely is a rookie an above average NBA player, even if they're great. You know, Zion Williamson's an obvious exception to the rule. Karl Anthony Towns, an obvious exception to the rule. Will Anthony Edwards be great his first year? Most likely not. Will LaMelo Ball? Most likely not. Although I think his floor is a lot higher because of the playmaking ability. But the Wolves know what Ricky Rubio is. He's going to be an average league average 3-point shooter. He's going to distribute the ball. He's going to play good defense. He's going to be a leader. So the idea, I mean, I don't completely agree with that comparison there, but I understand where he's going with it, because it proves that there wasn't a hesitancy to take the ball out of D'Angelo Russell's hands because they brought in another guy who needs the ball in his hands to be successful in Ricky Rubio. So he talks a little bit more about clearly his success next to Donovan Mitchell in Utah and Devin Booker and others in Phoenix prove that he can continue to help these young wing players improve. Now, Anthony Edwards is far more raw. I mean, he's a rookie. He's not Donovan Mitchell. He's not Devin Booker. So I don't know that it's going to be the same, but there's other guys on the team. I mean, Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie, both players that need to bring more offensively to the table. Both young players, Culver in his second year, Okogie in his third. So there's other wings beyond Edwards that Rubio can help improve and help them get better shots as well. There's also some talk about Beasley's contract. The Wolves were afraid the Knicks were gonna kind of screw them over with the way they were going to structure a contract, an offer sheet for Beasley potentially, which is part of the reason the Wolves went in aggressively. They were worried about Tom Thibodeau basically making things complicated for the Wolves trying to bring Beasley back. So that's not really all that surprising. And then one of the more interesting pieces was about Juancho Hernan Gomez. We know that the Wolves waited until Sunday, so almost 48 hours into free agency, before they actually sign Hernan Gomez. And John reports that Juancho is looking for over $10 million a year. Ultimately, he signed up the Wolves for 3 years and $21 million, so an average of $7 million a year, although it likely will include slight raises each year and the third year is a team option. And it sounds like Juancho actually considered taking the qualifying offer and playing out the year on a one-year deal, with the possibility of then going back into free agency next summer, but ultimately decided to take the security of 2 years plus the team option for the third. The Wolves told him, hey, if you can get $10 million, tell us that, you know, go prove it basically, and we'll consider matching the offer. And Juancho couldn't find that. In fact, I didn't see any other teams that were in talks with Hernan Gomez. Doesn't mean there weren't some, I'm sure there were, but probably not at the number he was seeking. We talked about some of the names the Wolves tried to reach a deal with, or at least had conversations with, but listed here by John, that includes Paul Millsap, who ended up staying in Denver on a one-year deal, Jay Crowder, who got 3 years, $30 million from Phoenix, Jamichael Green, who went to Denver. And then they also discussed trades again with Orlando for Aaron Gordon, who they've talked about since before last year or before the deadline in February. PJ Tucker in Houston and Larry Nance Jr. in Cleveland were also names that the Wolves talked about in trades. And then Krasinski has this interesting kind of butterfly effect note that if Detroit had not, or if the Nuggets had chosen to match Jeremy Grant's offer sheet with the Nugget or with the Pistons and brought him back to Denver, then they may not have signed JaMychal Green, which would have potentially allowed Green to come to Minnesota. Green would have been a perfect fit as a really strong rebounder and solid defender that would play the four next to Towns. And, you know, in some ways is a little bit more of a sure thing. He's certainly a four, whereas Derek Jones is primarily a three that can play some four and switch on to fours. But Green is perhaps a slightly better fit in terms of his rebounding ability, especially than Hernan Gomez. But when he ended up going to Denver after Grant went to Detroit, the Wolves then decided to bring back Hernan Gomez. They got him at $7 million a year, which isn't a terrible deal. I had been hoping they could get him for $6 million or less, but $7 million a year for 3 years, $7 million a year, so $21 million over 3 years is not a bad get for Hernan Gomez, and it's not bad for the Timberwolves either. Obviously not quite what he was looking for on the open market, but it definitely aligns with the cap space that the Wolves, I guess, didn't have. And again, as I've talked about before, I think his three-point shooting skill set, his average-ish defense, average-ish rebounding, those things that he can be solid at are going to fit nicely next to Towns. The last thing that John Krasinski notes in his article is the draft, and John talks through both the picks that the Wolves made, Leandro Bolmaro, who they traded up to get at 23, and then Jaden McDaniels that they took at 28, he has Sam Vecenie's draft profiles from The Athletic listed, and then talks about some players the Wolves considered trading up for on draft night, which is interesting. Not surprising, but interesting to see these names out there. So Sadiq Bey, who's a 3-and-D guy with some athletic limitations and some, you know, I guess athletic profile concerns. A lot of people thought he could go as high as 10 to the Spurs. He slid all the way to 19 to Detroit. When Devin Vassell slipped a little bit, I think the Spurs snapped him up at 10 and figured, you know, we'll take him. And then Bey just kept sliding and slid right past where the Wolves were at 17, but that ultimately he went 19, the Wolves couldn't get him. And then Precious Achiuwa, who slid all the way to 20 to Miami, there was some thought he could go in the late lottery. The Wolves had some interest in him as well, but they were very happy, it says, to get Bolmaro as a stash prospect. And obviously McDaniels is a high upside guy at 28. So some interesting notes there that Bey and Achiuwa were guys that they were looking at on draft night. All right. What I want to do next is talk through this piece at Zone Coverage by Spencer Nelson and his take on the Covington return. And then I'll give my take, kind of my rebuttal to the article, because I think that there's a lot of things that are yet to be determined in regards to the return for Robert Covington. So we're going to do that here next. A reminder that if you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about the Robert Covington trade return. So I talked about this the other day, and I wound it back a couple steps further to the Jimmy Butler return, which of course was Covington and Šarić and Jared Bayless, and talked about how they used Šarić to trade from 11 to 6 and draft Jarrett Culver. You know, obviously we don't know what's going to come of Culver. Šarić just re-signed in Phoenix for, I think, a little bit too much money for what he's going to bring to them, to the Suns long-term. And so if you're just looking at the Covington trade, here this is laid out now by Spencer Nelson at Zone Coverage. The Timberwolves sent out Robert Covington, Kata Bates-Diop, Jordan Bell, Shabazz Napier, and Noah Vonleh. All four of those guys are expiring deals. None of them are going to be on the Nuggets roster this year. In fact, we know for a fact Bates-Diop already signed a two-way deal with the Spurs. Jordan Bell's been traded a couple times since. Napier was flipped to Washington, and Vonleh, I believe, is still a free agent. So none of those guys are back. To the teams that they were traded to. Covington obviously didn't go to the Nuggets. Covington went to the Rockets in the four-team deal. But the Wolves traded those guys out. So four of them weren't going to be with the Wolves. They're still not with the teams they got traded to now. And Covington went to the Rockets. The Wolves got in on that trade. Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernangómez, Jared Vanderbilt, all from the Nuggets. And then they got Evan Turner, his expiring contract from Atlanta. Of course, he never set foot in Minnesota. And then they got the number 17 pick in this year's draft. So simplifying the trade a little bit, which Spencer does in his article, is basically the Wolves sent out Covington and some expirings. They got back Beasley, Hernan Gomez. And then when they did what they did with the 17 pick, that's Ricky Rubio, Jaden McDaniels, Jared Vanderbilt. And he says, this trade is looking more lopsided and not in the Timberwolves' favor, and goes through the Wolves potentially overpaying Beasley and Hernan Gomez in free agency. Okay, so maybe that's true, but we don't know that yet, first of all. Second of all, there's a reason the Wolves acquired those guys, and either way, they were going to be restricted free agents. It's not like it was a surprise that Rosas was going to have to pay them in the offseason. And I understand that the take that, like, he traded for them and then had to re-sign them basically in order to make the trade worth it. Well, that's not necessarily true. He knew he had to, right? I mean, he knew their contract status when he traded for them. So he was expecting that. He was probably anticipating. I mean, in restricted free agency, a lot of times these guys get overpaid a little bit anyways. And you could argue that Beasley's is a slight overpay. Hernan Gomez is probably about right. And then he's got Ricky Rubio instead of James Johnson. So, I mean, it's time will tell. Adding a year effectively of salary by getting Rubio at $17 million this year, $17.8 next year, instead of Johnson at $16 million this year and then expiring, that could end up being an issue. But it's not like the Wolves were ever going to be big players in free agency next summer. They didn't need that $16 million in cap space, and Johnson was going to get traded regardless. So the Wolves saw an opportunity to add a guy that elevates their defense, elevates their playmaking, and brings in leadership. And there's the added bonus of all the PR stuff, which I'm sure Rosas was less concerned about, but it doesn't hurt. And already right there, that's a pretty good return, not counting Jaden McDaniels. And he doesn't even have Bolmaro in here as part of the return, because technically the Wolves used another pick to trade up, and so it wasn't solely part of this deal, but half of Bolmaro, I guess, is included in here. And Jared Vanderbilt, who I still think is going to be a rotational big in the NBA, and he may actually make an impact this year as a guy who profiles as a solid defender, switchable, a great rebounder, and seems to be expanding his offensive repertoire as well, expanding his range out to the three-point line, hopefully. So I still don't really understand how this is entirely lopsided, because remember, Robert Covington's not a superstar. It's not like he traded James Harden. Robert Covington's a really good player, and he was on a steal of a contract, still is, at $12 million a year for Covington, who's still one of the better 3-and-D guys in the league, can play the 3, can play the 4. He's exactly the kind of guy that the Wolves are now still searching for. However, they've now got a couple of lottery tickets in McDaniels and Vanderbilt. They've got a high upside 2-guard who's 24 in Malik Beasley. There's obviously risk there. Hernan Gomez is a solid rotation caliber. Even if the Wolves acquire a 4 to start ahead of him in the next 18 to 24 months, he's a solid rotational 4 that fits extremely well next to Towns. Again, it's not like you're trading a superstar in Robert Covington, and it's not like he wasn't shopping that contract for the months leading up to the deadline. He could have hung on to him and traded him this offseason, but what if he had? What was a player like Covington going for on the trade market over the past week? I mean, obviously, Rosas couldn't have known that the pandemic was coming and couldn't have known that the offseason was going to be truncated to effectively 10 days. But would he have gotten more for Covington now? Would he get more for Covington this next trade deadline in May March or whenever it's going to be this year? Probably not. I think Malik Beasley at what is it, $15 million a year, and Hernan Gomez at $7 million a year, and Rubio at $17 million a year, and a couple of lottery tickets in McDaniels and Vanderbilt, that's probably about as good as you're going to do. So I'm a little confused as to where the conclusion is drawn that this was a underwhelming return. And again, I don't think it was simply to cover himself and say, hey, you know, because the alternative, I guess, is, hey, you didn't get anything for Robert Covington if you let Beasley and Hernan Gomez walk. Well, that's not necessarily true. He still got the first round pick, which became Rubio and McDaniels, and he still got Vanderbilt, who could become something. So that even then it wouldn't have been nothing. So could he have done better? Maybe. He obviously couldn't have at the time, or he would have. And if you hang on to him, is he worth more now? Is he worth more in 6 months at the deadline? Maybe, probably not. So I disagree with that take, obviously, given my, the episode the other day where I talked about the Butler return from that trade. I actually think the asset management here is pretty solid, depending on, you know, what happens with some of these guys, Vanderbilt with McDaniels. That's going to matter ultimately in grading this return, but it's not necessarily going to make or break the return on this trade. Unless Beasley or Hernan Gomez are complete flops on their contract extensions and just have terrible seasons or terrible next two seasons, it's hard for me to look at this and say, man, terrible asset management by Gerson Rosas. I think this was actually fairly solid, and we'll see. Time will tell. Obviously, it's early to really truly grade it, in the wake of these deals and restricted free agency in a pandemic season, whether or not the Beasley and Hernan Gomez deals were fair or not, but we'll find out here in relatively short order. All right, that's all we have for you today on the show. Of course, we'll be back on Monday through Friday. Players report Tuesday for training camp, and training camp kicks off middle of next week, so we'll talk about that and anything else that comes up in the next few days. Remember, the Wolves still do have a roster spot available, so we'll talk through some, if they haven't signed anybody by Monday, we'll talk about ways the Wolves could fill it out, if it's Jordan McLaughlin, if it's another veteran guard or somebody else that joins the roster for the 2020-2021 season. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder, if you listen on Apple or iTunes, especially, please go ahead and help us out with a review on there. That definitely helps us get in front of more eyes and ears, and would very much appreciate that. All right, have a great weekend. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.